perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and we are still here at the National Catholic Charismatic Renewal Conference in Dallas, Texas. Let me tell you that it has been an incredible weekend and conference, and we've just met so many people who are Holy Spirit-filled and just inspiring young people and all people to live a life in the Holy Spirit. But today is just awesome because I get to talk to another one of them. They're one of those people and peoples who are doing that. Today, joining me is Patrick and Joy Campbell, and they are the founders of the Cross of the Saint Benedict Society, and also Joy. They're also on Joyful Hope TV. But let me just tell you that what they do is they help in a destabilized world where danger, violence, and disruption is now the norm. Both Patrick and Joy are fiercely authentic, engaging and hilarious in their Holy Family Batman program. And in addition to that, they are spiritual superheroes. Patrick and Joy and their family of nine invite us into their lives to join them on the wild adventure as we watch them follow God's call to help lead all families to holiness, healing, community, and communion. So, Patrick and Joy, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And you know, it sounds like, you know, the program is awesome. The Holy Family Batman, I like a lot. But tell me a little bit about leading up to that. Tell me about the journey and how you got to be Batman.
So it was funny because Joy and I started off in a shipwreck. I was a single father with six kids, and Joy, she was a single mother with two, and we were on the opposite side of the continent. And when the Lord called us together, yeah. And we were friends, and we were praying together online. And then, you know, by the grace of God, He put us together, and we decided to take those two broken ships and mend them into one big ship. Through the grace of God, we were granted our annulments, and we went through our Catholic marriage, and then we ended up having another kid. So that's nine kids. That's seven boys, two girls.
It is a holy family.
People were like, "Well, this is not going to work. This is just, you know." I mean, it was really just a matter of time before, you know, people thought that just we wouldn't be able to sustain ourselves. But you know what? By the grace of God, we just said, you know, God can do all things, and we headed on with our helmets of love, and just thought we could mend these broken hearts. But it was like a nuclear bomb. What happened in the first marriages with the divorce is what a lot of society is going through, and it's a nuclear bomb. And you know, a nuclear bomb, you don't know who hit you. You just know that there's devastation all around you, and then there's radioactivity that seeps back into these children's lives, into our lives, and this woundedness. And those wounds leave permanent scars on people, and they can lead into disorders and sickness and psychological disorders. And Joy, who was trying to, like, you know, homeschool all of those kids, like, when does this end? She was like a revolving door from the psychologists, the doctors, the therapist, and she's like, you know, it's like a Band-Aid. You know, when does this stop? The only thing that we could think of is Jesus would have the answer. And she knew, just like Abraham, that the blessing first comes to the father, then comes to the mother, and then the children. So she called me up, and I'm a workaholic. I mean, I had no time for prayer. I had no time for, you know, and she's like, we need you to be more holy. And I'm like, what do you mean, be holy? I you know, go to church. You know, what are you talking about? She goes, I need you to be the priest of this household. And I'm like, I am. I'm not a priest. I'm a man. You know, and you know, I'm doing the best I can. And God knows that I don't have time to take you know, everyone to church every day. What do you need? She goes, well, we need a miracle. It needs to start with you. And I thought, okay, God knows that I have to support all these people. So we did what she thought was the bungee cord effect. She felt that because of our sacrament of marriage, she couldn't force me to be holy, but she could make a decision to be holy by herself.
Yeah.
And this is like that bungee cord that we need in our life to stretch those loved ones that aren't accepting Jesus right now, even though Jesus is the best answer to all our situations. So she decided to start with the rosary, then she went to the chaplet, then she did it with the children. Then she thought, you know what, I'm going to bring them, because I'm homeschooling, I'm going to bring them to church every day, and then I'll shove them in the confessional box, okay. And you know, and they're going to surround them with the sacraments. And what we noticed was that the children became whole. Their grades got better. There was peace in our house.
Wow.
They were inspired to do the divine office and do it on their own. And I really had a hand in the joy, and I said, this is awesome. I don't know what you're doing, but you are doing an amazing job with the kids. And so she said, well, when are you going to join us? And I'm like, come on. Wow. You know, we have a 7-bedroom house.
Right.
You know, I'm in charge of million-dollar projects. I don't have time to go to Mass every day. I said, God knows that. So she just decided I needed some more cooking.
Yeah.
And she just prayed. And you know, my argument was, is out of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Joseph was the least in holiness. And you don't see the Blessed Mother chasing Joseph around the table saying, hey, you need to be more holy.
Right, Joseph doesn't even say anything in the Bible.
No, he doesn't say anything. I said, why don't you do what the Blessed Mother did and just pray for me?
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. But so then what happened in you? How did you
Well, I was such a tough cookie. I didn't wanna do anything. So when she prayed more, I think it was her prayers that led to the dismantle of my job.
Okay.
I mean, the economy crashed. Okay. And they had to decide whether they were going to keep me as or the vice president, and I lost out, you know.
Yeah. And so then you didn't. Then the workaholic couldn't work.
Right, and it was a perfect place for me to take the kids to Mass every day because I didn't have anything to do. And then you know I was struggling to find work, you know, and it was so hard that now it seemed like a good idea to be on my knees and pray and say the rosary because now I was struggling to put food on the table. Things we were living like from paycheck to paycheck before, and now we were spiraling out of control without insurance. So nobody had medicine, nobody had doctor vids, nobody had therapists, and we had to depend on God on a daily basis to survive. And it seemed like every door that I had, and I had some really good connections, all doors were closed. And I'm like, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I visualized my family on the streets, all 9 kids. And I'm like, why aren't you helping us?
Yeah.
I mean, Joseph had 1 kid, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
He had a job. I'm like, Lord,
this kid was perfect.
Yeah. Where are you? Why are you not helping? One day, it was Joy's birthday, and I didn't even have enough money to put $20 together to get her roses. I normally got her roses, and I was mad at God. I said, you know, it's been a year. We're going through foreclosure, and I can't even buy a gift for my wife.
Yeah.
So out of desperation, I told all the kids to get in the garage, and they're like, what did we do, Dad? And I said, we're going to make your mom a cross. And we got in that garage, and we worked all night and day, all 9 kids. And on Joy's birthday, dripping wet with stain, we presented her our first cross.
Oh, wow.
And she cried, and she embraced it, all dripping wet with stain. And when she embraced it, I realized that God was with us, that he had answered my prayers, but not in the way that I thought that he would. It was outside that box.
Yeah. So now the cross, the ministry of the cross is unbelievable, right? I mean, you guys have just incredible prayer lives, and you make them public, by the way, on Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah. Nighttime prayers with the Campbells.
Nighttime prayers with the Campbells. I mean, if you're looking for some serious prayer people, every once in a while it pops up on my YouTube Live, and I get a chance to beep in for a few seconds. But talk to me about the cross ministry, because obviously that was the moment that kind of sparked the cross ministry.
Yes, and so what we did was, because that brought us so much peace, I couldn't explain it, but I felt like St. Joseph was with me, and I needed that outlet. So I would like lock myself in my garage, and you know, when I get home from my part-time jobs that couldn't really save us from foreclosure, I would make one cross after another. And I felt that St. Joseph was with me, guiding me, that these crosses I decided to make out of precious woods that I had stored from my expensive billion-dollar projects that I was working on. And I put them into the crosses because I felt that these families represented, that each cross represented a family, and that they were precious to the Lord. Yeah. So, but I didn't know how to sell them. I thought maybe I'd go to the back of the church and go, "Hey, psst, buddy, hey, you want to buy a cross? 2 for 1." You know, I didn't know what to do with them.
Okay.
And so as we spiraled out of control, Joy says, "You know, honey, there are 60 beautiful crosses on our walls. We're about to lose the house. What's your plan?" And I was terrified because I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to do. And she said, "There's this charismatic charism school that we got invited to. Do you want to go?" And I said, "Charism school? Now that sounds charismatic. I don't know about that, you know?" Because my idea of the charismatic movement is something that happened in the 60s. There was hippies and kumbaya. And what I really did need was praise and worship. I needed a message from God. And Joy's like, that's called a word of knowledge. And it often happens at these charismatic gatherings. So, you know, I want to know, is this guy Catholic, you know? And, and you know, I decided to take a leap of faith.
Yeah.
And it was just scary. It was scary for me because we were more Latin traditional, and I didn't know what to expect. But when I got in there, you could feel the Holy Spirit like as thick as pea soup.
Yeah.
And these people, they were religious, and there were priests there, and they were loving and welcoming, and they were teaching us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And things that I would never thought that, you know, God would use a sinner like myself. People were healing people. People were prophesizing. And I'm like, "Honey, this is like a superhero school. This is like they're teaching us our secret powers given by the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
And I was amazed. God really came alive for me in this Catholic charismatic renewal. But what was even more amazing is that night there was a big healing conference, and that packed the church. There was over 1,000 people there. So like good Catholics, Joy and I sat in the back, and you know, we're just going to check this out. We saw a man walk in, and he hobbled in, and he sat right behind us. And you know, the speaker came out and said, "There's a man in this row who broke his ankle when he was a little boy. And even though he didn't ask for a healing, the Lord just wants you to know that he loves you." And I heard some whimpering. And he says, "The Lord's just going to take care of your ankle tonight." And I turned around and I saw that man that hobbled in, jumping up and down with tears coming from his face.
Wow.
Jumping on his brand new ankle. And, you know, I'm a cradle Catholic.
Yeah.
And I believe in the true presence of the Eucharist. But right at that moment, God's in the house. And I'm like, "This is for real."
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the dark and I'm saying, "Lord, I need you. I need to know what to do. I'm going to lose this house and I don't know what to do."
Yeah.
"So if you're going to say something to me, I need you to say something." And Damien, the speaker, he puts his arm up and he says, "There's a man in this row." He says, "I know this sounds crazy, but there's a man in this row who's associated with Batman." And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, that's me. That's me." And my wife's like, "You're not Batman." I said, "You don't understand. I always wanted to be Batman. I put myself in the hospital when I was a little kid, jumping off my bed. That's got to be me." And he said, "Jesus has a message for this man tonight. And you need to pray for their prayer team." And I'm like, that's got to be me. I came here for a message. And Joy's like, how do you know? And I said, "Well, because they would line us up at family reunions, and they ask all the kids, 'What do you want to be?' Doctors, poof. Lawyers, poof. Presidents, astronauts." And they get to me.
Yeah.
And I'd always say Batman. And my parents told me I couldn't be Batman, and I cried.
Yeah.
I went to my room, and I made this promise to God. I said, "When I grow up, if I'm going to be anything in this life, I want to be your Batman."
Oh, awesome. Wow.
I said, "How would he know that?"
Yeah.
And then Damien said, "This man is going through extreme financial stress." And I'm like, "It's me!" And my wife's like, "Get a grip.
All
You're
right.
not the only oh, poor good. Guy who likes Batman." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it's got to be me."
How incredible. How incredible does the Spirit work that he can even point out Batman in a row at church? I have to take that short break here, and then when we come back, we're going to finish this story because you've got me just gripped right now. So we'll finish the story, folks. Right on the other side of this break, got to take that. This is Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder, right back after these messages.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce. but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today. Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. What an anointed conversation we are having. I'm with Patrick Campbell and Joy Campbell's over there filming, it's awesome. We're having a great conversation about their amazing journey. He left us off right at Batman being pointed out of the crowd there, which is so cool. So now you've got this amazing ministry. Finish the story for us.
So it was. It took me a lot of courage to get up to the room, but the speaker Damian Stain was continually, just when I thought, okay, Lord, I need another message, he would turn around. He would nail my what was going on in my life.
Yep.
So much so that I had to go up there. And at the end of the night, I waited to the end of the night to actually go up there. And it was amazing how the prophecy that he gave me was the way God designed my fall, my conversion, and this ministry that we just happened to fall into was designed by an answered prayer of a five-year-old.
Yep.
That I would be God's Batman, just like Batman was a normal man, right? No superpowers, but he had this tool belt. And as Catholics, we have this tool belt of sacramentals that if we say yes to our Lord, he will bring his power upon us to fight the forces of evil.
Right.
And it ignited me in such a way, and my whole family, to say yes at no matter what the cost, because if I take care of Jesus, he's going to take care of all my stuff. And at the end of that conference, Damien had called me up to explain to the people that sometimes God asks us to do the ridiculous so he can do the miraculous. And it was amazing. Without that kick, I would have not known how to present crosses or how to do this. And from that night on, from that prophecy with 1,000 people, and it's really funny, like tonight I ended up bumping in a whole bunch of people that said, hey, it's Batman. I always try to get away from that because, you know, they say, you must be a really big Batman fan. And I'm like, no, I'm not really, but I was when I was five. What he stood for when I was five was awesome. And I can't get away from it because God called me out. He answered a prayer of a five-year-old. So you always be careful what you pray for. But through that process and through the healing of our family, we devised with our pastor to do healing workshops about how to save families that are falling apart, because that's where Satan is attacking families.
Amen.
So for the last 5 years, we were going out as a family and presenting our crosses, telling our testimonies, and doing healing workshops and spiritual warfare workshops.
Wow.
And sometimes we didn't know if we were going to make it, but the Lord always pulled through and provided for us. But it got to the time where we went around the the United States and Canada three times a year. And when I handed in all my paperwork to our accountant, he just shook his head and said, you know, I know you think that this is from God, and I don't want to burst your bubble, but you're not financially making it. I mean, if this was from God, you'd be able to pay your bills, and you can't.
Yeah.
He said, if this was from God, you'd be able to afford an accountant, and you can't even afford an accountant. And that was like the world crushing me.
Yeah.
That was a, you know, the world telling me that I needed to be realistic and just stop this fantasy. And I sat beside myself, like, who do I think I am, you know? Mm. And I quit. I quit for 2 weeks. I was looking for a job. And I cried to the Lord. I mean, we have a little altar at home that we pray at, where we do nighttime prayers with
the
Campbells.
Yes, yes.
And I cried to the Lord, and I said, you know what? I don't mind being your fool, but I don't want to be a fool for myself. So if I'm going to go out there with my family and be your fool, you got to show me a big sign. Because if you can't show me a big sign, I'm not going to do it. Now, I don't suggest that anyone challenge God, but that's that's exactly where I was. Yeah. I was so desperate to hear from him. And then the phone rings. Hmm. And I look at the caller ID, and I don't want to answer it because, you know, I'm praying. But I can't resist looking at the caller ID. And I kid you not, the caller ID says, Vatican City, Rome. And I'm like, Pope Francis, are you there, you know? And it was a rest day from the International Charismatic Renewal. And he said, Patrick, we've been looking for you. And I said, looking for me? You know who I am? And he said, the leaders of the Charismatic Renewal got together around the world, and they prayed to God what they were going to do for the 50th year Jubilee. And they said that God had asked them to make a monument, a 12-foot monument of the cross of the renewal. And they said, when they asked our Lord who would make this cross, they said the Lord gave them one name, and it was Patrick Campbell.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I cried. I said, I don't know what to say. And he said, you could say yes. And I told my wife, I said, I think I just got my answer. So, you know, when you say yes to the Lord, yep. Evil comes at you big.
Of course.
And they didn't have all the money to get, but they had enough for me to get started.
Yeah.
And while I was lifting this 12-foot cross up into my 8-foot garage, I'll say that again, my 12-foot cross into my 8-foot, I underestimated that I could not do this. So we took everything that we could. Wow. And we rented out a warehouse. And I was dickering the guy down. I said, I'm doing this for God. And the guy's like, yeah. Well, I'm atheist. I'm like, please, please. You know? And he finally let me rent out the place. We put everything on the line to get a warehouse, to get the cross up. And now I had to get my partially finished cross from my garage to a warehouse. So I go to rent a truck. And the truck's about $20. And they charge my card, and there's nothing. And I asked my wife, what's going on? Another account, nothing. What's going on? Someone had actually stolen my wife's iPad, and they emptied out my account, and they emptied, that account was linked to my other accounts, and everything was gone. I didn't have money at all.
Wow.
And so I called my friend who is United for Life Foundation CEO. His name is Lee John Bruno. And I said, I need you to help me run a GoFundMe page. Help me. I don't even have $20. And I said, I'm gonna walk my cross at night so nobody sees me. He says, no, you're not. You're gonna need publicity, so you're gonna walk the cross during the day. I'll call the newspaper. And I didn't have much time to think about it because we only had 30 days to make this cross because they couldn't find me. So it was like, it was every day had to get to a certain point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The morning came. I'm carrying this 12-foot cross on my back with my son Talon. And I get to the front of my yard, and there's police talking to my wife, and a fire truck, and news reporters all over our yard. And the police chief, who's over 6 feet tall, comes up to me and says, where are you going with that cross, Mr. Campbell? And for a split second, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need some kind of permit. I can't do this. I'm in trouble. I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
And the policeman says, where are you going with that cross? I said, to my warehouse, if you let me. And he says, let you? We came to escort you. In that small town of King Street, which was primarily Protestant,
followed me from my house with the cross on my back while I walked down the street. Wow. They were, you know, they weren't prejudiced. They didn't say, are you Catholic? They said, you're Catholic, right? And I said, yes. They said, where's your Jesus? And I said, I haven't been able to put him on the cross. This is so miraculous. The day that the corpse came, Jesus came, was the presentation of our Lord. Everything happened right at the split second that it was supposed to happen. While I carved the dove for the cross of the renewal, when I was carving the dove, my boys would say, Dad, the dove looks white. And I said, it's the same wood. It's the same mahogany. Yeah. It's going to be the orange.
Right, right.
And my boy said, Dad, the dove looks white. Right. And I said, I'll get it wet. I'll show you. And I got it wet. And they show, see, it's going to be mahogany. Wow. But God wanted that dove to be white. And that dove, after we finished it, remained white. And it remains white to this day. If you go to the Ark and the Dove.
Oh, I've been there. I did my picture next to it, man. It's unbelievable.
You know, I mean, I go up there and I just think of the miraculous things that God has done to my life. And since that day, so what happened was is I didn't realize that so many people around the world were actually donating to get this cross made. That when we do our live prayer time with the Campbells, nighttime prayers with the Campbells. We normally had 12 people, you know, at the top, you know, 9, 11.
Yeah, yeah.
But for whatever reason, God would see fit that while I was walking down the street with the cross, it was shared to over 60,000 people.
Unbelievable.
Watched me carry the cross. And it wasn't just King Street, a small town in South Carolina. They watched me carry the cross of the renewal through the streets of America.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. What an amazing story.
Yeah, and since that day, you know, we were on EWTN and we do news reports and we speak all over the United States doing our workshops and making spiritual weapons for families because those families are up against a lot. But if we fight, God's going to meet us there.
Absolutely.
And we
absolutely
are victorious in Christ.
So in the minute that I have left, because, you know, this is such an anointed conversation, how do people find you? How do people get in touch with you? You know, whatnot.
Okay, www.crossofstbenedict.com. And we have a Joyful Hope TV. If you look at YouTube, go to Joyful Hope TV. And you will see us do our little video, 7-minute booms, where we teach the gospel and do the reflections of Christ. And then you go on Facebook and you go to Cross St. Benedict and Joyful Hope Ministries. And you can pray with us every night at Nighttime Prayers with the Campbells, where we sing the Divine Office and end our night with Salve Regina.
Oh, wow. So amazing. Patrick, Joy, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Absolutely. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us at Patchwork Heart Ministry, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program, or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278. The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.